Celsius, and I am a missionary to the United Kingdom. I'm originally from Long Island, New York, and my parents immigrated here to the States from Haiti, and I grew up as a Catholic. From a very early age, I was told that the way to heaven is by having your good works outweighing your bad works. So that's what I tried to do growing up, and I realized it was the most frustrating thing, because I realized that nothing that I was doing was working. And it wasn't until I was 16 years old that a soul winner came to me and talked to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brought me to the church that I'm sent out of now, a Bible Baptist church, where I heard a clear presentation of the gospel for the first time in my life on a New Year's Eve watch night service. And right at 12, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the Lord changed my life. He called me to preach, and I didn't really know what all that meant. No one in my family has ever gone into the ministry. So God opened up the door for me to go to a Bible college, and I went to Crown College in Knoxville, Tennessee. And it was while I was at Crown College, Dr. Sexton gave me the opportunity to go to England and to spend a semester over there. And it was while I was over there, I was able to help start a church. And God really began to work in my life about returning there as a missionary. And I was able to go back a couple times afterwards. You know, the United Kingdom is such an interesting place, because it was a place that used to send missionaries out into all the world. But now they are in need of missionaries to return back there. To tell you a little bit about the condition of the United Kingdom, 2% of children attend Sunday school in England, or church for that matter. On one occasion, we were talking to a group of kids on the sidewalk, and we saw a great opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting, because the moment we said the name Jesus Christ, they all gasped, and they all looked at each other. Like, did you just hear what he said? Because the only time that they have ever heard of the name Jesus Christ was in a curse word. So when we said it, they were offended, these little kids, and we had to teach them, look, he's not a curse word, he's the Savior, and he's wonderful. So that's the condition of it, where children only know Christ as a curse word, where every 2 weeks, 35 churches are closing. The fastest growing religion in England is Islam. It is said by the year 2050 that the United Kingdom will be an entire Islamic country. I'll show a video in just a moment, but the video will really show you how the most common name, there were several censuses that were done, and the most common name for an infant boy in England is Muhammad. Really just shows you the condition of the country. But in the midst of spiritual darkness, we believe that the gospel of the Lord Jesus can shine the brightest. And God has given us a wonderful opportunity. Really, a very unique aspect of this ministry is that we're working as a team of church planners. And we have been given over 7 church buildings, empty church buildings, all across the United Kingdom. And God has enabled us to restart 5 churches, and we're working to restart the 6th church in Scotland. 5 churches have been started in England, and 1 church is in the works of being started in Scotland. We were just given a building in Wales as well. So God has just opened up some tremendous opportunities. One last highlight I'll give you about the ministry is that we have a lot of people from the Middle East who come to the United Kingdom. They're able to come and to live in England particularly. And God has opened up a door for us to host English classes. Now think about this. Free English classes in public libraries all over the United Kingdom. You know, we can't go into Afghanistan and Iraq and a lot of these closed countries. But we're getting people who are coming to these English classes from Iraq, from Afghanistan, from all over the Middle East. Plenty of Islamic people, plenty of Sikhs and Hindus are coming to this English class, having a desire to learn English, but we are able to teach them English using the Word of God. On one occasion we saw, it was in December, where a lady started crying, just bawling in the middle of the English class. And we all looked at each other like, did we say something to offend her? And everyone just paused and looked at this lady. And she started crying and she said, I'm so happy because I've never heard that Jesus Christ loves me. An adult woman heard the gospel for the first time in her entire life from the Middle East. So God has just opened up some tremendous doors, and with all of these empty church buildings, we're able to go and to restart churches. So we are part of, or I am part of, a church planting ministry in the United Kingdom. And I hope you enjoyed this video that would highlight just a little bit more about the work there.
The United Kingdom was an area once known for great spiritual revivals, where thousands at a time would come from miles away to hear the gospel proclaimed. George Whitefield started preaching in public parks and in fields as an itinerant preacher, reaching people who would not normally attend the chapel, ultimately leading George Whitefield to go to North America and preaching a series of revivals outdoor, which came to be known as the Great Awakening, where many came to Christ in America. The UK also was responsible for sending out missionaries and evangelists around the world to places like China with Hudson Taylor, America with George Whitefield and John and Charles Wesley, and Africa with David Livingstone. These revivals came about in many different ways across the world, but it all stemmed from this one thing, by the spreading of the Word of God. Although rich in Christian history, today that history is literally tread upon. People walk over the streets where monuments of martyrs for the Christian faith were burned at the stake. Many British people know of the Great Awakenings and have heard of their nation's Christian history, yet still deny it completely, or simply explain it away, as many are atheistic in view. Across the United Kingdom, there are numerous chapel buildings sitting vacant that at one time were lively and vibrant, preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. They are now being turned into pubs, apartments, lodging, and mosques. 2% of children today in England attend Sunday school. The most common name for infant boys in England is Muhammad. But in times of spiritual darkness comes great opportunity for the light of the glorious gospel to shine the brightest. While both being martyred, Hugh Latimer said to Nicholas Ridley, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." And that light, by God's grace, is still burning today. My name is David Vilsius, and I am a graduate of Crown College of the Bible, seeking to be a church planter in the United Kingdom. With 5 chapels already established, it is my desire to work with the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, a ministry of the Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, and Pastor Clarence Sexton, with a vision of planting churches in all 10 regions of England by the year 2020. The Lord is at work in the United Kingdom, and it is my life's desire to follow the Lord in going over there to help spread the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. On top of being involved in the full-time ministry in the local church, we have opportunities to have gospel missions throughout the United Kingdom, as well as teach English classes where we are able to take the Bible and teach English to Muslims, Sikhs, and Hindus. We also have events such as the Winter Retreat, the Sunday School Parade, and Camp Victory. These events bring people from all across the UK to one place to be challenged, refreshed, and encouraged.
The Lord has given us the unique opportunity, with hundreds of church buildings that are closing, we are able to go and restart churches. Would you please pray for me as I endeavor to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are in need in the United Kingdom? Thank you. With me and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of the ministries we're involved in the United Kingdom is street preaching. And on one place, it'd be in Oxford, a very busy and populated city. And we would get what we would call hecklers. These would be people that would come while we would be street preaching, who would come and just yell in our faces and would try to just stop us from preaching. It's interesting because God often uses the hecklers. As people, as they would create a commotion, other people would come and the crowd would just grow. And we would get what we call our regular hecklers. These would be people who would come out faithfully every Saturday morning to come and yell. On one occasion, we had one of the regular hecklers who came on a, he's an atheist, he came on a professing atheist, he came on a Saturday morning, and he had a huge smile on his face. And we said, you know, why are you so happy this morning? What's going on? And he said, we were just given permission by the public council to host an atheism club in the middle schools. Just as we would go into the public schools and we would have a Bible club, where we would have activities and games for the kids and then teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are a group of people who are going into middle schools and indoctrinating children, telling them that Jesus Christ is not real, that the Bible is written by men, and that you can live as you please. That is the condition. And we know that if we are going to reach the United Kingdom, we must reach the next generation. We must reach the children. So would you please pray for us as we endeavor to reach the people of the United Kingdom with the gospel, and for the people there, that they would be receptive to us as we give that word to them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 for our text. And I heard that there's going to be food and activities afterwards, so I won't be too long. I came to the right place tonight. So thank you for the invitation. Looking forward to that. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I do want to give you a brief message to encourage you all tonight from God's word. And we'll 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Jump with me to verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark this phrase at the end of verse 12? Where King Jehoshaphat said, but our eyes are upon thee. I want to ask you this question this evening. What does it mean to look to God in times of trouble? What does it mean to look to God in times of trouble? In this passage, we read that news was brought to King Jehoshaphat that the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the children of Mount Seir all came together to fight against Judah. King Jehoshaphat quickly realized that they were outnumbered. They did not have the manpower nor the resources to fight off this great company of people. So the Bible tells us that he called out all the people of Judah to come and to pray and to seek the face of God because they desperately needed God. They knew that if this army was successful in their attack, they will be taken away captive. So as King Jehoshaphat prays, and as we can see the record of that prayer, he says something so interesting. He says, Lord, we are in a situation where we just don't know what to do. But the only thing we know to do in this battle, in this trial, is to keep our eyes upon you. There are many times, as we know, in the Christian life where God allows us to go through trials. He allows us to go through storms and through battles. But the great test of our faith while we're going through these battles is not what we do to get ourselves through the battle, but it is rather this one thing. Are we keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus? You remember in Matthew chapter 14, after Jesus told his disciples to head into the ship and to head onto the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they encountered a storm and they were afraid. They thought that they were going to perish. And they saw someone walking on the water. Then Peter, the bold disciple, said, Lord, they all cried out. And the Lord Jesus said, be not afraid, be of good cheer, it is I. Then Peter, the bold disciple, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Then Peter had his eyes fastened on Jesus, and he began to walk on the water. But the Bible tells us that the moment Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, he placed his eyes on him, on his circumstances. He saw the winds, how they were boisterous, and the waves. And because he took his eyes off of Jesus, he placed his eyes on his circumstances, and he began to sink. Teaching us that when we find ourselves in trials, when we find ourselves in storms, we are not to take our eyes off of Christ and place them on our circumstances, but rather to keep our eyes upon him. And in this passage, we really see what it means to keep our eyes upon God in times of trouble. The first point I want to show you this evening is that if we are going to keep our eyes upon God in times of trouble, number one, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice with me in verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, and notice this, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. After this great proclamation was made, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God was in the midst of the people, showing us that the Holy Spirit has a tremendous role in trials. I'm so thankful that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he said, I will send forth the Comforter, this same Spirit. Because when we find ourselves in trials and when we find ourselves in difficulties, we are to be filled with this Spirit. Because he is the one that comforts us and directs us and guides us in the midst of trials. In the book of Zechariah, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of thee, the Lord that is in the midst of thee is mighty. And we see that we have a mighty God and a mighty Spirit that he's given us. So the first point I want to show you is that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The second point I want to show you is that we must dismiss all fear and discouragement. We must dismiss all fear and discouragement. Look with me in verse number 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it well when he said, he that counts the stars in the sky and calls each of them by their own name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as though you are the only creature that he has ever created, or as though you are the only child that he has ever loved. You can trust God. Because we know that one of the greatest tactics that Satan uses upon the people of God is the spirit of fear. For the Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Satan knows that as long as God's people are living fearful lives, they are of no good use to the king. So that's why God in this passage said, be not afraid, nor dismayed, even though the armies are coming out against you, even though you are outnumbered, even though you do not know what to do, be not afraid. Oftentimes we spend today's strength on tomorrow's problems. God says, no, be not afraid. We should not be afraid of our circumstances, of our trials, because of who God is and what he is able to do. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. For God is not on the balcony of heaven tonight, wringing his hands, wondering what is going on with us. God was not on the balcony of heaven wringing his hands when the Ammonites and the Moabites were coming against his people. He told them to not be afraid because of what God is able to do. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, the Lord asked his people a very interesting question. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Your trials, your problems, the things that you are dealing with, are those things too hard for God? Jeremiah gave the answer in that same chapter. He said, oh Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And because there is nothing too hard for God, because he has all power in his hands, why are we so fearful? Why do we spend our days worrying and anxiety? And God in his word tells us, be not afraid, for he is in complete control. Even when Satan wanted to tempt Job, he had to go to God for permission first. Why? Because God is in complete control. I also do want to show you in this passage that when King Jehoshaphat realized that he was in a battle, when he realized that there was trouble, the Bible tells us that he prayed and that he called all the people of the country to come out and to pray, because he knows that he served a God that hears and answers prayer. Precious promises that God has given us in his word concerning prayer. In John chapter 15, verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Amen. Oh, we have precious promises in the word of God, how when we find ourselves in trials, we can go to him and seek his face. So we see this evening that when we find ourselves in times of trouble, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of God was present among his people. We find how God instructed his people not to be afraid nor dismayed by reason of their trials. I also want to show you that when we find ourselves in trials, when we find ourselves facing difficulties, we must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Amen. Notice with me in verse number 17. The Lord says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know, oftentimes what we do is When we come to church, we take our problems, we take our trials, and we place it on the coat rack outside. Then we come to church and we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the singing, we enjoy the preaching, but the moment the service is over, we go back to that coat rack. We take up whatever it was that we were dealing with, and we try to face it ourselves. And we dread the tomorrows of life. But it's interesting because God told his people, no, tomorrow go out against them by faith. Why? Because I will be with you. In college, a pastor came and gave, this was several years ago, and he was speaking to a group of young men who were studying to be pastors, studying to be preachers. And he was trying to teach these young men a verse that they did not know. He taught them the verse and he asked them to repeat it back to him. And they stumbled over their words. All things work together for good to them. He said, no, that's not the verse. You're missing a part. He said, try it again. All things work together. He said, that's not the verse. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For we know. There is a certainty that we can have despite the trials that we're facing, that God will give us the victory. You know, when I was a kid in the youth group, they used to sing the song all the time, and it used to always bring comfort to my soul. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. When we realize and remember that, look, I am thankful that I am a citizen in this country, but I have a far greater citizenship, and that is in heaven. Peter tells us that it is an inheritance that fades not away, that is reserved in heaven for us. Realizing that one day the Lord will take us home. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Realizing that we are just pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land. But while we are in this foreign land, he tells us in his word, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. It is normal for the Christian to go through trials. But as Christians, God says, when you do go through these trials, keep your eyes on me. Even the very definition of our faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And notice in this passage also, the children of Israel did the most unusual thing. The enemies were still coming, and notice what they did in verse 18. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, teaching us that when we find ourselves in trials, we are to be worshiping the Lord. And the most interesting thing happened. When did God give his people the victory? Notice in verse 22, the Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise. Notice what happened. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. It's amazing that as the enemies were coming, as the enemy came, the children of Israel bowed their heads, their face to the ground, and began to worship God. And the Bible says, and when they began to praise and to sing the Lord. I believe that for many of us, God is ready to give us the victory in many areas of our lives. But he is waiting for us to praise and to sing. He's waiting for us to worship. Well, we see as we face trials, as we face times of difficulties in our lives, we see that we must be filled with God's precious Spirit. We have to dismiss all fear and discouragement, as we see in verse 15 when God says, be not afraid. We see we must face our troubles by faith, believing and understanding that God has already given us the victory. In verse 17, he says, "And see the salvation of the Lord with you." The victory was already with them. Why? Because God was with them. The victory is already with you. Why? God is with you. And lastly, we see that when we find ourselves, we must worship. We must spend more time in the Word of God. We must spend more time with our faces to the ground, worshiping the Lord. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel began to murmur against Moses and murmur against God. God was so displeased with their murmurings that he sent fiery serpents into the camp. Many of them were bitten and were ill. Many died. And they had realized what they had done. And they went to Moses and they prayed to Moses and said, "Moses, please pray to the Lord for us, that the Lord would take this away from us." And Moses did so. And the Lord told Moses to take the serpent and put it upon the pole and lift it up. And whosoever was bitten by the snake, as long as they look upon that pole, upon that serpent, they would be healed, signifying how Jesus Christ would soon be lifted up upon a cross. And whosoever looks to Christ by faith would be saved. Someone asked, "Who killed Jesus?" Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay down my life." Think of this. Jesus Christ willfully allowed men to take nails and to put it through his hands and feet and to put a crown of thorns on his head so that he can be humiliated upon a cross, so that we can have everlasting life. He said that he could have called 10,000 angels to come and to set him free. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ set his face like a flint to Jerusalem, to that place, that mountain right outside the gates of Jerusalem, where he would be offered up as a sacrifice for us. You see, the message is the same for the believer and for the unbeliever. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is the same message. By faith, look to Christ. And if you're here today and you have accepted Christ, you are a believer, and you find yourself in a battle, in a deep trial, it is the same exact message. Look to Christ. Keep your eyes upon him. For if we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ for our soul salvation, our soul security, we can trust him in the trials of life. And may God help us to do, even as King Jehoshaphat said, "Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." By God's help, may we keep our eyes upon Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the word of God today, how it instructs us to keep our eyes upon you. I pray for anyone here this evening who may be going through a trial, who may be going through a battle. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would speak to them even now, for us all to refocus our eyes, not upon our circumstances, not upon people, but upon our Savior. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.